We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, text lines are open. 833-833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can text it or call it. Either one, same number works for both. 833-68-RIGHT. Your thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it. John from Huntsville's already texted in. In fact, John, I'm not positive, but I thought I saw your text pop in before I even finished my monologue. But I will say this. He says, awesome monologue, Phil. And I gave Big Rig some extra credit points for his amazing Taco Tuesday sound effect. There you have it, brother. He says, also, I just want to let you know that my weather radio just went off saying there's a severe thunderstorm watch for the area, but I guess that's better than a tornado watch. Yeah, it is. I'll tell you what, who had some rough stuff yesterday was down south, Baldwin County, the beach area, our coastal region. They had tornado warnings. I mean, they had tornadoes on the ground, waterspouts and stuff, too. Kind of crazy. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. TL from Huntsville says, another meaningful monologue, Phil. The evangelist Charles Spurgeon said, quote, all good is born in prayer and all good springs from it. And also he says, quote, I would rather teach one man to pray than teach 10 men to preach. Prayer is powerful. TL, I think you could do my monologues next time, brother. That sounds good. Thank you for that. JT Lacey Springs says, I think of our POWs, beaten and tortured and starved, and all that was left was prayer. Yeah, no doubt. And then he sends me a meme. Oh, don't. That's awful. Why would you send me that? That's like the,
what they call that again?
Noodling.
Noodling, yeah.
What is he trying to throw me off my game? That's like that's the one thing I said I cannot. I do not see me ever noodling. Like wading in brown water and sticking my hands up under the bank to see if something bites me so I can pull it out and find out how big it is. How about just no?
It's good old Alabama fun.
That all started with, here, hold my beer and watch this. That's how that started. And nothing good comes from it. All right, Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, you've been a great, oh, thank you, brother. Says you've been a great leader in the past and will be a great leader in the future because you have all the makings the other great leaders have. Man, thank you very much for that. He says good things about the future. Jeff from Indiana, I appreciate you, brother, as always. And I mean that with all sincerity. We got a great audience, man. Listen, the fact that we've got audience members who compliment and say thank you, who call in, who have meaningful content, who do things like quote Charles Spurgeon. That's just, what kind of audience do I have? Nobody else has got an audience like this one. I'm just saying. All right. Anyway, text lines and the call line, all the same, 833-68-RIGHT. We're going to get into some stuff today. I will tell you this one piece of breaking news. Right now, the cross-examination of Michael Cohen in the Trump trial is ongoing. And what's interesting is it's like half the people they think are going to be vice president showed up to sit in court with Trump today. It's really become the thing. Let's sit in the gallery. It's wild. In fact, what's really interesting here, you look at what's happening. So Trump goes to New Jersey, a blue state, and draws a crowd that is estimated by the local officials themselves to be in excess of 100,000. Good heavens. 100,000 people show up. I'm talking, like, you know, the Beatles couldn't get 100,000 people to play if there was a way for them to do a reunion. Although, you know, there's only, what, two of them left. But you know what I'm saying? 100,000 people is a significant chunk. And I look at the whole thing and think, here he is in trial. People are showing up just to sit in support of him during the trial. And yet, right down the road is New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, whose corruption trial started today, or yesterday maybe. I don't think anybody's showing up to sit with him. Nobody. It's very apparent that we have a different scenario going on with Trump in terms of A, his popularity, B, the absolute defense of this situation from the public view. I recognize that what happens in the courtroom is not always the populist thing. It's sometimes the law does not match up with the populace. But I will say this. The law right now appears to be playing catch up to real life. But they are doing the heated cross-exam of Michael Cohen right this very minute. And that has got to be better than an e-ticket at Disney World. I mean, as a lawyer, as a guy who practices and goes, I was in court this morning, as a matter of fact, just dealing with an issue on behalf of a client. And just looking at Looking at things from the lawyer's eyes, I would think I could get continuing ed credit just for watching this cross-examination. Because I guarantee you, they have been waiting for the moment that he takes the stand. And he's been, listen, I don't know how they get around some things. I mean, there are certain aspects of attorney-client privilege that do not protect you from, you know, disclosing items that you're ordered to by the court. So the question of attorney-client privilege, except that what we learn more and more is that he was not operating in his client's best interest quite often. He was self-dealing. He was self-serving. I mean, the very idea that he recorded the conversation, no one knew this. He recorded a conversation with his client and now brings it to court. And I don't think Trump ever knew that. That's amazing to me. No wonder he was disbarred. All right, we'll get on to the topics at hand. Illegal votes coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Okay, so we're going to jump into Dipper number one, and I gotta ask, have you thought twice at all about the level of impact that the illegal immigrant invasion at the southern border could have upon, I don't know, all kinds of things, elections included? I would dare say that a bunch of you have thought of it. I know these ruffians out there, and a bunch of y'all have thought about it. You're like, good gosh, if we're having multi-millions of people streaming across our border unchecked, what does that do to things like our census count? What does it do to things like our elections? I mean, we know the strains it's causing on the system, right? We know the strains that are happening with our ability to provide city services and essential services, for that matter. I mean, just stuff that the city or the towns or the counties or the states provide to their people on a regular basis become more difficult because of the burdens placed by an unchecked level of illegal immigration that brings in more and more people, especially, by the way, especially to these communities that virtue signaled and dared to call themselves sanctuary cities. And now, I hate to use the old cliche, but the chickens are coming home to roost. And it's tough, man. You think you're going to get some once in a while, and you're like, we'll be a sanctuary city. This will be awesome. And then you get, you know, 320,000. And good luck keeping up with that. And so what we're seeing is right now, for instance, the city of Denver is having to cut its police budget, having to cut its parks, having to cut other levels of city departments' services in an effort to provide additional support to the homeless immigrant population that keeps getting bussed in or flown in. That's just one of many. You're seeing them popping up in tent cities and sleeping in airports, sleeping in bus stations. You've got whole hotels in New York City that have been now rededicated to housing illegal immigrants, as opposed to being hotels that tourists can stay in. It's just really been a massive strain. And what's amazing to me as I watch this is it's as if the Biden administration is completely tuned out, like tone deaf on the issue. And it's either a willful, which I'm getting into lawyer language now, but a willful and reckless effort on their part to do this, or it's a negligent, at the very least, a gross negligence in that they're just not able to do something right to make it stop. Me personally, I've gotten to the point that I believe it's intentional. I think it's a reckless and willful indifference to the consequences of not enforcing existing law. I'm not going to be a bit surprised, and I don't know how we would go about this, but I'm not going to be a bit surprised to begin seeing actual litigation where communities and plaintiffs are suing the Biden administration. Now, we're seeing certain ones like Lake and Riley's family over in Georgia. I believe they are suing because their daughter is dead. And the accused, and I don't know if he's admitted it, but I think he's actually strongly believed to be the suspect. Let's put it that way. The suspect is an illegal alien who was not only here for the second time, but he had already been detained, A, at the border, B, in New York City, And then he went on down to Georgia and murdered their daughter. And the system just broke down at every turn. Nothing that was supposed to be done was done. And their daughter's gone. So they're filing suit. That's not going to be the only one. I think you're going to see some mass tort litigation on some of the things that have happened. You're going to see hospital systems that may have to file suit for damages. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But here's the thing. I've got a new article here from the Post-Millennial. Story came out yesterday. According to the Center for Immigration Studies, the largest two-year increase of those who are foreign-born has happened in the last 2 years. Get this. We're looking at, right now, the foreign-born population in the United States has reached upwards of 51.6 million. 51.6 million. That's 5.1 million more than we had in March of 2022, meaning we just had the largest two-year increase ever in recorded American history. That is an epic increase. Now, I was not aware that we had 51 million non-U.S.-born residents. Now, that doesn't mean they're all illegals. Some are green cards. Some are student visas. You know, we have all kinds of folks who are living here, some of whom went through whatever version of the system they had to be here. But we do know for this fact that in the Biden administration's just short tenure, we have seen a spike of an additional 5.1 million that can be accounted for. Growth in the foreign-born population in the last 2 years is more than the previous 9 years combined prior to that. That's where we are. 6.6 million foreign-born have landed in 39 months of the Biden administration. That equates to just under 170,000 a month. Good Lord. Only 46% of those who have arrived after March of 2022 are employed. Let that sink in, by the way. That means 5.1 million people arrived. Only 46% of them are employed. Now, not all of them are of working age. But let's just take that into account. 46% of 5.1 million, that's roughly what? Somewhere around what? 3.8 million? I'm just saying, that's a big number, y'all. The U.S. foreign-born population, if this trend continues, will reach 62.5 million and then 82.2 million by the year 2040. Good Lord. A large spike in illegal Chinese immigrants is also being investigated by the House GOP right now. All right, those numbers are just to set the stage for where we're going, because what happens is it's not just the strain on the systems. Then you begin to get into, how does this impact things like, I don't know, the Electoral College or the census? It's just the census, Phil. We're just counting people. No. You know what the census does? I'll tell you. The census is literally the reason why some states have funding for things and some don't. Let me jump on a call real quick before I lose time. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, don't think they aren't coming in to change those census numbers and give California and New York, you know, Illinois some much bigger House seat numbers. But so what I was calling in to say is something I noticed and read about yesterday about New York, state of New York, hiring more and using a considerable amount of investigators for their tax purposes. Now, what's happened is New York is going broke. It had hundreds and hundreds, a couple thousand, no, thousands now, millionaires leave the state since 2020, and they're going broke because they have all these mass illegal immigration. So they are trying to claw back every nickel and dime they can from anybody that's ever worked there. And they have changed even the meaning of what it means to work there. But I will tell you this. I had a friend who was married to a professional athlete who had played a game in New York 20 years before. I'm not kidding. It was like 2001. And in 2021, they went in and debited their account. I don't know how they got the account number.
What?
It must have been through, like, taxes. Debited, took the money out of their checking account for taxes for a game that was played for a couple of hours 20 years before.
Holy cow. This
absolutely happened. I know this for a fact. And they're now saying that to qualify as working in the state, they said if on business you drive from Massachusetts to New Jersey, you have to drive through New York, right? And you stop and buy a pack of gum. or you stop and eat at a restaurant, you are considered to have worked there for a day. They said it doesn't matter how long you're there.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That is considered working there for a day. And they can come after you for tax revenue for your work day, and it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes. But I'm telling you, this is how illegal immigration affects us. You have states that get desperate and then have to come after you using the tax apparatus as a way to do it.
That is quite the workaround you just did. That was artful. That was very artful. But it's true. I'm not denying it. I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but I think that was a great tie together. I think you found the thread and pulled it. But you're seeing that also. I mean, and we're going to chase a rabbit here, but it gets kind of stupid when you look at things like the push for EVs, and then they realize, wait a minute, we pay for our roads with gas taxes, but if they're not buying gas, what do? So then they start charging you for how many miles you drive in your EV. And just stupid stuff happens when they begin to make their agendas drive policy as opposed to principle driving policy. It's nuts. All right. Well, thank you, Lee.
You're welcome.
All right. See ya. Bye. Yeah, by the way, the idea that we're going to count illegals for the census has been battled over and battled over for years. Donald Trump took firm action on it, but I'll be honest, I've had a feeling it was not going to work out because he was taking executive action on something that required congressional action. In other words, he was taking a stab at it and it didn't work out. But we'll talk about after this break, we'll talk about where do we go on this? And what did the Biden administration like take deliberate steps to like not let the census be considered as a pushback? Oh, yeah, they did. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Laura from Huntsville sent in just the nicest text. Laura, thank you so much. We just take that to heart. And yes, we are praying likewise. So thank you very much for that, Laura. Jay from Hartzell says, I guess going back to the monologue, he says, I believe trying to remove God from a leader's decision-making is the exact issue with our leaders today. Take Biden, for instance, a Catholic man that pushes abortion, which is the exact opposite of what his Catholic faith teaches. One should ask themselves before any decision, how will this look on my day of judgment? Whoo! Yes, indeed. If you'd want that to be your eulogy, if you want to stand before... By the way, you know, there is forgiveness of sins in Christ. I know that. Do I need that. I mean, that's me. But I also know that it does not mean that we won't have to say, yes, sir, I understand I did that. Thomas Mathens texted in and said, Biden policies are beyond willful. Biden's handlers are enabling the invasion of the border for replacement processes when illegals voting will solidify Democrats' power and government's control. Therefore, all genuine freedom-loving Americans must vote these socialists out of power at all levels of federal and local governance. Lay it on thick for us, Thomas. You are so correct, sir. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and affirm your comments with the following. Texas Tribune, dated back to January of 21. So we're looking at President Biden took office. And as he's coming in, people are like, what's he going to do? How many executive orders is he going to sign? Well, that's all he did for like days, it seemed like, was sign executive orders. I mean, how many leather-bound portfolios do they have where they lay in front of him and give him the pen and he smiles and they sign another executive order? And every single one of them seemed to be nothing more than a rescission of what Trump had done. So if there was an executive order with a Trump signature on it, there came out a Biden one to rescind that previous executive order. Texas Tribune points out the Trump administration's protracted efforts to keep immigrants from being counted when congressional seats are divvied up from the 2020 census ended with the former president's departure from the White House, but President Joe Biden's administration now inherits a census running far behind schedule. Okay, this Texas Tribune, by the way, is very liberal. That's not quite the way it worked out. It wasn't like President Trump made everything slow down. No, it didn't quite work out that way. But Trump did have the intent to have a question on the census that inquired about citizenship. The courts struck it down. A little disappointing. But he says among his first acts after being inaugurated, Biden is expected to sign an executive order, which, by the way, he did, undoing his predecessor's plan to keep undocumented immigrants from being included in the state-by-state tallies that determine how those living in the U.S. are represented. So what we're saying here is this. Trump was trying to make sure that the massive numbers of illegals that he had back then, which were nothing like what we have right now, but even still, I mean, wouldn't you love, by the way, to go back to Trump's numbers? I think we all would. I think everybody would love to go back to the numbers we had walking across the border occasionally during the Trump era, which we thought was bad enough then, as opposed to what we see now, which is like human waves. You got literal human waves coming. It's like the zombie apocalypse as they stream across in just herds. And it's just, anyway, it's nauseating. And yet the first thing Biden does is he makes sure that everybody knows that we're not going to ding them on the census. No, no, no. Here's the thing. The constitutionally mandated census, and this is correct, the constitutionally mandated census sets the baseline for how residents are accounted for by the state, and it flows down to their daily lives. It is the census, this article points out quite well, it is the census that serves as the roadmap for distributing hundreds of millions of dollars for everything from early childhood programs to highway planning. It guides community building. It even goes into things like, where do we put the next grocery store when a chain is looking for where to build? Whether schools will be large enough to host students. It determines political power because population figures are tied to how many seats that state gets. So the state's count of electoral college votes and how people are distributed in political districts is also affected. All right, here's the bottom line. When you have hyperinflated numbers based upon people who are here illegally, but you get to count them, then guess what? Apparently it pays off to be a sanctuary city. Because you know, they're suffering through it right now. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do, says San Francisco. What are we going to do, says Chicago. I don't know how this is going to work out for us, says New York City. By the way, who was losing seats in the census? New York, Illinois, California. Who's gaining the most right now in illegals? Those three states are among the most. So are they right now benefiting from being sanctuaries? They may be. They may be looking at this as their investment. This is how we get it back. We lost so many people. All our producers decided to move. Everybody went to Tennessee and Alabama and Arkansas and Florida. I mean, everybody's moving out to the red states right now. Texas is beefing up. So what do we have? Let's get some good numbers, man. We got to have some better numbers. How are we going to do this? I don't know. I tell you what, open the floodgates and bring in the illegals and we'll count them. But didn't Trump say, we took him to court on that. Don't worry. And then guess what? Doesn't matter anyway because Biden signed an executive order. Whoop, whoop. So all of a sudden, the numbers apparently are newly inflated. Like, poof, instant population. Just add water. There they are. And it's just, it's changing everything. That is going to change, like the article said, the way we divvy out federal dollars for everything from childhood education, you know, food for schools, road building funds, and then, of course, the assignment of who gets the next level of congressman or who then might lose seats in Congress. You know, when they designed the process by which we are given congressional representation, the intent was to see if there was interstate migration. And the occasional extra migration from outside the country. What we're seeing right now, though, is mass hordes coming across our southern border and then all massing in certain places hyperinflates the numbers almost overnight. And by doing that, they are changing the formula entirely. No longer are you seeing true interstate, like people move from California to Alabama so we benefit because that's the natural way of things. No, we're seeing the unnatural way of things. As they stream across the border en masse, and then the sanctuary cities go, we really didn't want them here. Oh, did we get more? Let's make sure we count them. I got more on this, like what happens with new legislation that's proposed right now in Congress? I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Illegal Votes. We'll be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. We got good doings going on here. And I'm in number one of the triple dipper still, the illegal votes. Several text messages. If I grab them real quick, John from Elkmont says the vast majority of these illegals are military age men. Do y'all remember when during the Obama presidency it was suggested that if they would serve in the military they could earn their citizenship? It wasn't suggested; it was a thing, man. And by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone earning their citizenship. He says, what a great idea. Take non-American illegals from 100 countries, make them responsible for defending our country, and then give them the guns and training to use them. If Biden's reelected, don't be surprised if the idea isn't floated again. And by the way, I think we're talking about two different things, because there were people who were here legally that were then allowed to join the military, but they weren't citizens and they earned their citizenship. But I think we're talking two different things. You're right. The ones who floated in illegally had no record whatsoever, weren't supposed to be here in the first place. Different story. That's my recollection. Navy Phil from Athens says the Epoch Times reports illegal immigration across the northern border is also up, and they have flown thousands in. Yes, that's true. We're seeing, I mean, nothing like the southern border. It's harder to get to Canada and then come back, you know, down. But it's definitely been a massive uptick. The problem is they're having to divert border control resources to the southern border, which leaves the northern border then more porous. And then John from Huntsville says, Phil, I heard that Trump is way ahead of Biden in all the swing states except for Wisconsin. So if he loses, it'll be because of illegal votes. Let's talk about that. I got two things here. One, going back to the census issue. Story on May 8th on Fox News. The House of Representatives passed a bill on Wednesday of that week to add a citizenship question to the next U.S. Census. So whereas it couldn't be done by executive order under Trump, Congress can act. Good luck getting the Senate to do it. They're not going to. But it passed. It did. Party lines. Straight party line votes. 206 Republicans, 202 Democrats against. Says Majority Whip Tom Emmer of Minnesota says, if you're an illegal immigrant, you should not be represented in the U.S. Congress. It's a shame that House Democrats are allowing their open borders agenda to get in the way of common sense. It's called the Equal Representation Act. In addition to including a question on the citizenship status on the census, it says the bill would also exclude non-citizens from the population count when factoring how many lawmakers in the House each state gets, as well as the number of electors for all 50 states. So, all right, it passed. And by the way, this is once again a clear indication that we are rewarding sanctuary cities if we don't do this. That's the thing, man. Democrats are all up in arms on this. They're like, you can't do this. I mean, this is like something that's just flies in the face of who we are as a people. The chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, Representative Nanette Berrigan, Democrat from California, said this requirement would deprive tens of millions of immigrants their right to representation. Well, they were not coming here for the purpose of representation anyway, were they? They were coming here to get stuff. They were coming here to take advantage of an opportunity. And that's a little different than, you know, getting on a ship and sailing from Ireland and passing through Ellis Island and becoming a U.S. citizen and assimilating into the culture while keeping your own culture, but yet assimilating in. I mean, we are littering to a place right now where we are importing poverty. Because you heard the stats a while ago, 46% of the 5.1 million new illegals that we can account for in the last 2 years alone, just two, 5.1 million, 46% are unemployed. Okay. If that's the case, then they really didn't come here to assimilate and take part. They're just here to get stuff. But here's the other piece. That's them being counted in the census. Here's the other one. Passing a law that says they can't vote. But isn't that already the law? Yeah. But the thing is, it's a law that doesn't have a lot of teeth in it. So the Hill.com, story from 2 days ago.
Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana was candid last week, telling reporters that Republicans are what he called motivated by intuition in seeking another law that would limit voting to U.S. citizens. Says, we all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that's easily provable. We don't have the number. This legislation will allow us to do exactly that. It will prevent that from happening. And if someone tries to do it, it will now be unlawful within the states. It says federal law since 1996 has banned non-citizens from voting in federal elections, and many states have also passed laws that do the same. Although we have seen some, like New York City most recently, try to say their local elections could include illegals. We did. That was just last year. Janet Mergua, I believe it's pronounced, president of Unidos U.S., the country's largest Latino civil rights organization, says, quote, he can have all the intuition he wants. That does not mean it's true. It does not mean there's evidence. It does not mean it's factual. We need to see specifics. Okay. How about some specifics? I'll give you those in a minute. The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE Act. They're always thinking of these cool acronyms. The SAVE Act would require voters to demonstrate they are citizens to be able to cast a ballot. Now, the concern is, okay, what about U.S. citizens who don't have proof of citizenship? Like, I've got a driver's license, but I don't have my passport. What do I do? I don't know. I'm sure they have a thought, though. I don't think they did this too willy-nilly. Chip Roy, Representative Chip Roy from Texas, he's one of the ones drafting the legislation. He said it's needed because it's the most fundamental thing you can do to destroy the rule of law, destroy our republic, is undermine our faith in elections. I would agree with that. Now listen, the activists want to say, you have no proof that illegals are voting. You have no proof until this big report just came out. You can hear how big that one is. All right, here's the small paper. Here's the big paper.
That one's hefty.
That one's got some chunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to use it as a doorstop when I get done. Organization called JustFacts.com. Study. 10% up to 27% potentially of non-citizens are illegally registered to vote. What? They did huge amounts of studies. Actuarials, you know, projections, using statistics. These are like smart people. These are like the kind that design rockets, and now they're also figuring out who's voting. All right, so based on the latest available data and an enhanced version of a stress-tested methodology from a scholarly journal, a new study by JustFacts has found that anywhere from 10 to 27% of non-citizens in the U.S. are now illegally registered to vote. Let that sink in. They're here illegally, and they don't care about the law already because they're here illegally. They broke the very first law they could, which is just getting here. And now that they're here, it says this study shows that 10 to 27% of those that are here are now illegally registered to vote. We're talking millions. So in 2014, the academic journal called Electoral Studies published a groundbreaking study by three scholars who estimated how frequently non-citizens were illegally voting. Based on data for the 2008 presidential and congressional elections, the study found that, you ready? This is 2014. Roughly one quarter of non-U.S. citizens in the U.S. were likely registered to vote. 6.4% of non-citizens actually voted. 81% of those who did reported voting for Barack Obama. Wow. You hear the stats here? So are they importing votes? Potentially. Illegal votes cast by non-citizens, quote, likely, changed important election outcomes in favor of Democrats, including electoral college votes and a pivotal U.S. Senate race that enabled Democrats to pass Obamacare. God almighty. A national survey in which 14.8% of non-citizens admitted they were registered to vote was part of the background. In other words, it's not like they're just seeing it out there and going, I think I see something. They're doing surveys of non-citizens and having them tell them, yeah, I'm registered to vote. I am. By combining all their data, the author's best estimate was that 25.1% of non-citizens were in fact illegally registered to vote. It goes on, y'all. It gets more and more in depth. This is a weedy article. There's no way in the world I could do an entire dipper on this. But let me just get back from this break, and I'm going to give you the breakdown of what the impacts are, if this is true. What are the impacts to that level of illegal voting? Because I'm just telling you, this is This is a topic that does not need to go away, not with the Biden administration's lack of policy on the southern border. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up, but I've been reviewing some stats. If in fact this is true, the activists who say there is no evidence that illegals are actually voting, and that's just wrong-headed for you to say that. Well, how about this? The studies indicate now that up to 10 to 27% of non-citizens who are in the U.S. are illegally registered to vote. Many of them admitted it in the survey. In presidential elections, roughly half of non-citizens who are registered turn out to vote. Given that about 10 to 27% of them are currently registered, this means that anywhere from 5 to 13% of them will illegally vote in the 2024 elections. Huh. The U.S. Census recorded a population of 19.7 million voting age non-citizens in the U.S. during 2022. This is an absolute minimum because the census doesn't count masses of non-citizens, so just take into account this is an official but yet not necessarily comprehensive number. Still, 19.7 million. The figure of 19.7 million also does not include multitudes of non-citizens who entered since 2022, meaning that 5.1 million I showed you from the other article. This includes people who legally immigrated, crossed the border illegally, or were allowed into the country. So based on the data above, if you take those numbers into consideration in their totality, it means that anywhere from 1 million to 2.7 million non-citizens will illegally vote in the 2024 elections. That's the culminating number there that you need to know. You're looking at, when you look at how close the numbers were on the 2020 election, when you see, I mean, all right, let's look back. What about Bush Gore? Remember Hanging Chads down in Dade County, Florida? Hanging Chads, they got down to the point that they had that weird voting system where you had to poke the paper to poke a hole in it. And some people didn't poke hard enough. And so the little piece of paper that hangs out the back was called a Chad. Was it real? I don't know. Did they mean to do that one? I don't know. We need to count Chads. So they're counting Chads. The entire nation waited while one county figured out who won the race because the electoral votes from Florida were the tipping point for the presidential election. Al Gore would have been president. I want to say that at some point, they finally determined that Bush won, if I'm not mistaken, by a mere few hundred votes. After all the hanging chads were counted, Bush won that county, which was the last county to have it figured out, that then swung the election for the state. That state swung the election for the nation. Can you imagine if we had 1 million to 2.7 million non-citizens actually vote? And the stats show previously that 81% of those who voted in the past reported voting for Barack Obama, meaning they tend to vote Democrat. That is a mass of numbers that we don't need to see. And then here's one more piece just to wrap it up. Townhall.com had an article that came out 2 days ago. Just 37% of Americans believe that they will have an honest and open election. Among the issues driving this distrust is concern that there are no guaranteed guardrails in place to prevent non-citizens, even illegal aliens who arrived in the millions under the Biden administration, from registering and casting their votes. Voter registration is largely carried out on the honor system, and in many places in the country, voter ID is not required. This mere presence in the country is having a profound impact on the outcome of elections. So is there a federal law that says you can't vote? Sure. They broke the law to get here, didn't they? They did. If they broke the law to get here, is it possible that they might break other laws once they're here? I don't know, like registering to vote. Or for that matter, if liberals, progressives, Democrats help them break the law to get here, isn't it possible that liberals, progressive, Democrats will help them break the law to register to vote? Wink, wink, nod, nod, sign here. Don't you want to vote Democrat? We gave you free stuff, didn't we? We're the ones who said Sanctuary City and you came. I'm just saying, this is big doings. I got a text from Mo Brooks just now. Hey, Mo is always good with numbers. Mo says federal GAO investigation and report circa 2003 in some parts of the U.S. as much as 3% of all registered voters are non-citizens.
Commission on the Federal Election Reform Report, circa 2005, chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker. Voting by non-citizens was a top three source of voter fraud. Man. Number one was mass mail-out of ballots. I see that. National Voter Registration Act of 1993. It is illegal for voter registrars to require proof of citizenship when non-citizens seek to register to vote. My gosh. And he says Alabama's own Richard Shelby helped pass this law, pass the Senate. It is illegal for voter registrars to require proof of citizenship. Wow. Shelby. How about that? And then he ends with deep sigh. Mo, you're welcome to call in. That's where we are, folks. Illegal votes. Illegal votes matter. And the idea that activists and Democrats will say, this is not a thing. You're making a thing. You're trying to find a solution to a problem that does not exist. I got news. It exists. It exists in spades. It is here. It is huge. Some studies, as I showed you, say this could be 1 million to 2.7 million votes nationwide. And if you realize how close our elections have been in recent years, you might realize that also could turn the tide. And that's not right. All right, all said and done, I say they don't count for the census, and I say they definitely need to have some penalties attached to signing people up to vote illegally. A couple of quick texts. Marcus from Huntsville. So at this point, I don't even care if they assimilate into our culture. I'd just be happy with them following our basic laws. The illegals have no right to representation, criminal or legal, because they're illegally here. That's like someone breaking into a bank, then demanding they have a right to the money because they're already in the vault. That's a really good analogy, actually. Devin from Brownsboro. I wonder if my late uncle is going to follow suit with the illegals and vote in this year's election. What's your philosophy? That's interesting. Reminds me of a little Uniontown, Alabama, where in, I think it's 2010, 110% of the population of Uniontown voted for the mayor's election. That's just crazy. That's, okay, 110%? What were they, importing people at that point? Were they folks driving in from out of town to vote? All right, folks. We're done with that, Dipper. I think we ran that one smack into the ground, but those were real, real numbers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.